Hi, I'm Lisa Davis. Welcome to It's Your Health on Thinking Out Loud on WUML 91.5 FM. ADD and ADHD is a term we hear all of the time. There's a lot of different ways to manage it, and right now the trend tends to be towards medication. Well, joining us today is Dr. Kevin, the author of the fantastic book, Managing the Gift, Alternative Approaches for Attention Deficit Disorder. Dr. Kevin Ross Emery is a resident of New Hampshire and maintains a full-time coaching and counseling practice focusing on alternative approaches for dealing with attention deficit disorder. He is a cutting-edge practitioner whose career has spanned several different worlds. Dr. Kevin, welcome to It's Your Health on Thinking Out Loud on WUML 91.5 FM.
Hey, it's good to be here, Lisa. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm just fabulous.
Good. I am so glad to have you on the show. I love your approach. And in Managing the Gift, you write about your own journey. And you write, quote, "The journey through my gifts and abilities, which often separated me from my peers, has been a lifetime journey." And you share something that your grandmother said to you when you were four. Can you share that with us?
Absolutely. When I was 4 years old, I actually was playing a game with my grandmother. It was just her and I. And in the game, I told her what she looked like when she was my age. I told her how she wore her hair. I told her the name of her best friend. And then I proceeded to start singing her the song that they sang when they played together. And my grandmother sat me down and said, "Kevin, you have a gift, and it's a gift from God. People will tell you that it's bad or that it's wrong, or that they don't believe you. But as long as you know it's a gift from God, everything will be okay." At that point, my grandmother, who, you know, understood that she was dealing with a four-year-old, made sure that I really got the meaning of her words, because she proceeded to give me not one, but two hot homemade chocolate donuts and my own plate of sugar, which to a four-year-old meant that I had to have done something really good.
You know, I have to say, I am in awe of your family, because in addition to the wonderful things that your grandmother said, you share a story about your father when they wanted to put you in a class for slow kids, and the way that he interacted with you and showed the teacher that indeed you're quite brilliant. And that's something that you talk about in the book, about ADD not being a disability but being a disability, which I'd love you to touch on. But I was really moved by that, especially, I'm assuming this was a while back.
Yes, it was a while back. I actually just celebrated on July 4th. I just celebrated my 50th birthday.
Oh, happy birthday.
Thank you. And so we're talking 1964, 1965, long before the, well, 1965, 66 would have been the time frame, long before we moved into the current languaging. And in that, you know, Papa really understood that the problem was that my brain was functioning too fast. And
yes.
So when the teacher would call on me, you know, like the teacher would ask a question and I'd be jumping up and down and I had all of this energy and I'd be waving my hands and she'd call on me, and then I would try to get it out so fast and there were so many things going on in my head that I would stumble over myself and I wouldn't, and it would come out sometimes like it was gibberish or it wasn't coherent.
Mm-hmm.
And so part of what happened is my mother, who was a woman at that time that had a tendency to be more bowing to authority figures, if the principal said, if the doctor said, you know, doctor, lawyer, Indian chief, then it must be so.
Yes.
My rebellious side of my nature comes from my father, and when the school called and wanted to put me in a slow class, which is what they called it, my mother's like, "Well, if that's what you think is best." And my father said, "Well, I'd like to have a meeting." And we went in, and the first thing was he brought me to the meeting. And they were like, "Oh, I'm sorry, he can't come to this meeting." And he's like, "This is about his life. He gets to come to this meeting."
Wow.
It's like, we're not having this meeting without him. You know, and that's how my father felt, that the child should be included, should be part of it. Revolutionary in the 60s. In fact,
yes.
It's still considered revolutionary. Oftentimes, children, and this is a big issue, and if, for your listeners, if you have an ADD child, include them in the decisions.
Okay.
Invite
yeah,
them to step up to the plate. Engage their critical thinking skills. Put it in a languaging that they can understand. And in some cases, depending on the age of the child, it may mean that you have to actually go out and raise your language if you want to put it in a language they can understand, because it might be better than yours. When Papa got over the first hurdle of bringing me into the classroom, I mean, bringing me in and sitting down with me. Then they, he said, you know, they explained what the situation was, and they said, well, ask him a question. Well, they asked me the question, and in asking me the question, I got all excited, and I jumped, and Papa just put his hand on the front of my heart, on the front of my chest, and just held me on his knee and said, take a deep breath, and now answer. And I took a deep breath, and I answered the question, and I was correct. And we did that for, I don't know, to me it seemed forever, but probably 15 minutes, 20 minutes. We got to the point where they were asking questions that we hadn't even covered, that were like the whole rest of the year's information, and I didn't get a single one wrong.
Wow.
But Papa would cue me. Kevin, stop, take a deep breath, think about what you're trying to say. And I would answer it. And then my father said, well, I don't think that the problem is that we need to put Kevin in a slow class. I think the problem is we need to find a teacher who can teach a bright child.
Exactly.
Because
Papa is amazing. I'm so in awe right now.
You know, and one of the things, again, is these kids today aren't getting empowered, are not getting included, are not part of the process, and they're trying to be made to fit into something that doesn't fit. And all I can say, you know, I mean, in this moment, if you have a child or a spouse or you yourself are ADD and you're trying to play by a set of rules that were created 100 years ago, 150 years ago, that were not created to certainly serve your needs, think of what it would be like if you were trying to crawl into something that you wore when you were 5 years old, if you're 10, or if you're an adult, think of trying to put on the thing that you wore to the first day of fifth grade. Would it fit? Would you be comfortable? Would you be bursting out at the edges? You know, it doesn't fit. It doesn't work.
No, it doesn't work. And I'd love how you said if you could rename ADD, you would call it cultural inconvenience syndrome. And I just laughed, and sort of a sad laugh. It's so true.
One of the presentations that I do, actually I have this slide that I found, and they had, you know, back 20 years ago, they had this whole, before the ADD phenomenon 20, 30 years ago, 25 years ago, they had this whole where they started working with gifted children. And they actually were trying to create gifted children classes. And there was a list of 10 points that teachers were asked to observe, the counselors and people that worked with the kids were asked to observe. And if the kids met this criteria that they should be being tested to be in the gifted class, which was going to be with the best teachers in the smallest classes because these were our best and brightest. Mm-hmm. And, of course, those classes all ended up losing funding and blah, blah, blah through the years. Well, I found the list that went out. Then I found the list that was created 10 or 12 years later after the pharmaceutical companies got involved and the AMA got involved and we suddenly had a diagnosis, a label that we could put on this and a pill we could write for it. And I found the list of the 10 things that they were supposed to observe for it to be an ADD child. In my presentation, I put the slides side by side because the 10 points are identical.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
Okay. Hear that?
Yeah.
10 points are identical.
I'm not surprised.
We decided we could not afford to teach gifted children, so we gave them a label and we drug them up to dumb them down.
Yeah, I completely agree. You know, my husband describes my daughter, it's like her brain is, it's like having a race car, you know, engine on a roller skate. Like her mind is just so quick and goes a million different places.
So the first thing I want to put out there to your listeners is, if there's one thing I can ever do when I do these radio interviews or these presentations, and I have sat with IEPs and 504s, I have done continuing ed credits for teachers. Schools have brought me in to work with the teachers about how to manage these kids in the classroom so we won't need medications. I've dealt with parent groups and dealt with these kids and stuff like this. But the one most first important thing I'd like your listeners to do is go back to something you've already referred to, that ADD is not a disability. It is a diffability that they learn and process differently. Mm-hmm. And I want them to understand it from the fact that this is an evolutionary process. It has been coming in since the 1850s. these were the architects of the 20th century. They were Ford, they were Picasso, they were Alexander Graham Bell. They gave us telephone, telegraph, they gave us radio, they gave us computers, they gave us, you know, they created the internet. And people have asked me through the years, oh, did computers create ADD kids? Did TV create ADD kids? Did the internet? No. ADD kids created all of those gifts to the world. Now, what we've done with the gifts are two different things. I mean, you can give somebody the gift of, a big, beautiful, heavy book, and they can take the book and throw it at somebody and hit them with it. Well, you know, that's not what you intended for the gift to have to do, but it was still a gift. But understanding that it is a naturally occurring evolution of the human species to go into more than 10% of its brain, to actively go into more than 10% of its brain, to actively be able to take more data, more sensory information on all levels and bring it in, and then create the way to harmoniously turn that out into new visions, new ideas, new ways of being, of moving us forward. You know, one of my running jokes is if we had Ritalin back in the 1880s, you know, and we could have given it to Alexander Graham Bell was considered the village idiot and dropped out at like 16. Well, if we could have given him Ritalin, we could have been talking on two tin cans with a string, because he would have learned that the world is what we tell you it is. And you're not supposed to look at the world and make it what you want it to be. And this is what these ADD kids do. When supported correctly through environment, through education, through diet, when supported correctly in all areas, these kids are here to give us the new world. They're here to give us the new vision. They're here to show us what we can be and help us step up to the plate. We look at them, however, as if they're going to destroy our institutions, hurrah, 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 like it's about time, make us rethink everything we do, hurrah, 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 it's well past time, and challenge us to be more. And these are the ones that are out there trying to wake up the apathetic. I mean, 3/4 of America walks around like zombies. They're apathetic. These kids at least are living life when we're not shoving pills down their face. You got to give them credit for something.
That is true. And that's why your book is so important, because I think just the title, Managing the Gift, that so many people see it as a bad thing. Oh, no, my child's got ADD. Oh, what am I going to do? Oh, this is terrible. Instead of looking at, hey, their brain just works differently, and they have so much to offer.
If I can get any of your listeners, when somebody says ADD, to stop thinking disability, to stop thinking illness or disease or handicap, you know, 80 to 85% of the handicaps that the ADD person experiences in the world is living in a world that does not know how to support ADD.
Mm-hmm.
It's not their handicap, it's the world's handicap. And this is something that drives me right up the wall, Lisa, which is we sit there, we send these kids into school, we pay counselors, we pay teachers, we pay aides, we pay this, we pay that. We keep on trying to keep on getting them into something that doesn't fit, something that doesn't work. We bang our head against the wall. We finally turn around and have no option because they've outthought us. They're beyond what we can comprehend. We don't have enough staff. We don't have enough support. We don't have enough energy. We don't have enough of something, common sense being one of those things, to know how to really work with them. And so we turn to drugs that are going to cut off their edges, cut off their brilliance, is going to contract them instead of supporting them in how to expand. And then we make them the failures. You failed that grade. You failed that course. You failed that test. Who failed? Did the child fail? I don't think so. I think the system failed. I think the teachers failed. The parents failed. Everybody failed but the child, who is trying their best, because children do, to please the people around them until they give up because it becomes hopeless.
Yeah. And it leaves a child with such low self-esteem, which you talk about. And I've heard from parents who have children with ADD where the child says, I'm so stupid. Everybody thinks I'm stupid. And it's heartbreaking.
And
they're the complete opposite of that. And yet they just don't know because of, like you're saying, like the way the culture is.
It's one of the first things I do, whether I'm working with a child or an adult. And that first time I sit down with them, first couple of times I sit down with them, I check out and see where is their self-esteem, where is their self-worth, and I go to them and we start to talk about it. And I watch these kids and these adults when I sit there and I start to explain what it's like to be in their head and that it's okay. When they start to get that I get it, then they can maybe take the risk to try to see who they really are or what they're here to do, because they come in so bruised. They come in so battered that they've just given up. They've bought the label. They've bought the diagnosis. And they've learned how to manipulate it, because the brighter the child, the better the manipulation, and these kids are bright. So they will work it. They will work it to their advantage. Unfortunately, they don't have the maturity to know what their advantage is.
I see. Can you give us an example of that, of how they would work it and how it actually ends up hurting them?
They decide that there's something that they could do, but they don't want to do it. And they go, well, what do you think? You know, what do you expect? I'm an ADD. You know, I got ADD.
Okay. I see.
Yeah. Like, oh, well, no, I didn't, you know, that's one of the conversations. In fact, it's funny because, you know, there's one of the qualities that I list when I go through things to look for to see if you or somebody you love has ADD, and I have a completely different observation list than the AMA does, is when we look at the different things, one of the things is that they'll always be childlike. No matter how old they get, there'll always be a childlike quality to them.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that has to do with some kind of innocence, and the innocence is that they don't get why we would do such stupid, self-destructive stuff. You know, and so there's this why would we destroy an environment we need to live in? Why would we kill people? I mean, why do you tell me we have a loving God and then turn around and tell me that God wants me to kill somebody? That doesn't sound loving. What's wrong with that?
Everything you're saying, the reason I'm chuckling is it's like everybody in my family on both sides. It's just incredible.
So when I sit down and I'm dealing, because, you know, sometimes I will deal with a couple because I do couples work as well. I'll work with what can the ADD person help and not help. And I'll do the same thing with kids, because that's where I started. You know, I don't care. One of the first ADD people I worked with was in their 60s, and they were just as much of a kid as one of my 16-year-olds in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
But what can they help and what can't they help? What structures can mean that they can do it, but you give them the structures and then they don't do it, that's because they don't want to, and then they pull out the ADD card, the magic, hey, you gave me this magic card, this label, ADD, which means that I have permission to space out now. I have permission to not do this or not do that, and they need to be bagged. And, of course, I love it, especially dealing sometimes if I'm dealing with a teenager, is looking and going, yeah, but that was the choice. And you can always see that kind of, I just got bagged look on their face. Because they know I know better. Yeah. They can sell it to their teachers. They can sell it to their parents. They can sell it, you know, in a lot of places, because people don't really understand, what is this thing? What is it? What is it not?
But you know, they're not going to get away with it. And then once you confront them, I mean, do they admit to it? What are the interactions like?
Well, you know, usually, of course, we're dealing every time you deal with a different...
Of course, yes.
You know, different child, and they handle it differently. I would say probably 9 times out of 10, I can get them to admit that they kind of sort of bagged out on it. And then they'll give me the excuse of why they didn't really want to do it. And then we talk about it. And then we see if we can language it in a way that it makes sense. Because, again, these kids need to learn in a dialogue. They need to have their learning done in a critically thinking-based teaching style. Now, dialogue and critical-based thinking are not part of the public education model.
Go ahead.
So you have to challenge them and make them step up to the plate, and you can have a lot of fun with them.
Yeah,
oh, I have
sure.
a, You can have a lot of fun with these kids. You know, and I'm going to tell you right now, Lisa, my practice goes in and out because I've been doing it for a long time, and it's not the only thing I do. I kind of got kidnapped to do this work. You know, I was already running, an alternative practice for people who didn't want to be doing things in the traditional format and the traditional ways. And ADD kind of snuck up, and there are times when I'm working with more ADD individuals and times when I'm working with less. And it kind of ebbs and flows, and I am working on my new book, which is Managing the Gift of Your ADD/ADHD Child, which is...
Oh, great.
So I've got three books that are kind of in the queue around this, which is Your ADD/ADHD Child, Your ADD/ADHD Spouse, and the ADD/ADHD Entrepreneur.
Oh, cool. You got to come back and talk about those. That's wonderful.
Yeah, well, and they're all in staging order because I have three different books I'm working on right now trying to get out.
Oh, my gosh.
So,
I just love the approach that you take. It's so refreshing. And like I said, this topic is so close to home, and, I mean, it's actively in my life, and so it's so nice to pick up the book and show it to my husband and have us go, oh, my goodness, here's some better ways to deal with this, and it just makes so much sense. And speaking of that, I mean, do you have advice for people? You talk about bullying and being bullied by the schools into either medication or just certain ways that the child should be treated in the classroom. What would you say for people listening?
Well, I think there's two or three things. One, and I put this in the book, though the book is old and I'm trying to decide there's a possibility that it may come out in a reprint in an updated edition before the next one comes out, because there are some things that have changed because that book came out in 2001.
Okay.
The thing is know your rights. Know what goes on. The laws change. I mean, it is illegal now for anybody in a school setting to ever say the word medication to you. They can go to jail for up to a year for uttering the fact that your child should be on medication. They are not allowed to badger you. Now, if they know that you know that, it will never happen. If they can say it in a way that doesn't have them come out saying it, then, they'll try to, like, talk around the edges. You know, one of the more powerful things, I mean, I've gone in, and I haven't gone in for a while, and I'm going to tell you the truth, it's not one of my favorite things to do, but, I will admit that sometimes I get a little attached to these children I work with, so I will go in on a 504, I will go in on an IEP, and I sit right down. The first thing I do is I tell them ahead of time there's going to be a tape recorder, and we'll put the tape recorder in the center of the table, and we're recording everything that's said. So if you tell us that there's a service you can't provide, if they tell us that you can't, there's something you can't do, if there are questions you can't answer, I want a record of it.
That's really great.
And I hold their fingers to the fire. And I've actually been told, I had one principal tell me that I was not welcome to ever come back to another meeting, which legally they couldn't do. They were like, Dr. Emery is not welcome to return to this campus. Sorry.
Wow.
You accept funding from the state? You accept funding from the,
It
was over stupid things. And you know what? I'm going to say this. I've only got about four more minutes I can be on the phone because
sure,
I have actually a client at 11.
Okay.
But two things. One is mydrkevin.com. People can come there. Just so people know how to contact me. You can get the book at Amazon. You can get it through my website, whatever. But, do have to do my little tap dance there.
Of course.
My office is in Haverhill, Mass., right down the street from you, just so people know. And I have an office there and an office in Phoenix, Arizona, so I go back and forth. But one of the things is when we are looking at this, everybody is fighting for their life. Public education, as we know, is not working anymore. It's failing. To me, the No Child Left Behind should have been called Every Child Has Been Left Behind.
I agree.
Testing is a joke because it only ever really truly tests the ability to memorize, which has nothing to do with thinking. Memorization is what you want when you want sheeple to follow you around and be able to repeat back to you exactly what you said to them.
Yeah,
we are not. Okay.
Sheeple, I love that term.
Yep. And in this, we have to be very honest that these children and adults, they push our comfort zones. They ask questions that we don't want to answer because we don't want to look at the answers. They wake us up to things that we have become desensitized to, things that we just accept, well, that's just always the way it's been. When you say, that's always the way it's been, it's just that way to an ADD mind, the ADD mind thinks either, that means you don't know why we do it, or two, then it means it's time to change it if we've always done it that way. It's like waving a red flag in front of a bull. Well, we've always done it that way. So there are so many places. There are so many places where people are starting to catch on the fact that maybe America is just a wee bit over-medicated.
Mm-hmm.
That maybe the institutions, and this is one of the things, this is one of the issues, Lisa. Systems and institutions get to a point where they take on a life of their own, and then they no longer serve the people they were created to serve. Their number one function is to keep the institution alive.
I see.
And so education isn't about anymore educating kids. It's about keeping the institution of education alive.
I see. You know, I want to have you back because I'd love to talk to you about if there's other schools, like if, you know, Montessori or Waldorf school, or if there's something that's a better fit, or, you know, I'm not sure. That's why I would love to talk to you about that. So I'll have to have you back on because there's so much more to talk about. And you are fantastic.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate you having me on. And you
Give us your site again.
Oh, it's mydrkevin.com, mydrkevin.com.
And if people want to reach me, they can go to itsyourhealthradio.org. I hope everyone has a great day. Keep being healthy. Take care. Bye-bye.